last week on the case of the missing ivory knitting needles.
Things have been heating up for this crack detective and Chestnut, my faithful teacup Yorkie. We were lamenting our temporary unemployment a few nights past when the door of my office burst open and a vision in lilac stepped inside.
My name's Georgia. Georgia Peach.
Georgia, one of the Peach Sisters of Peach Tree Plantation, had come to me with a unique mystery.
My great-great-grandmother's pair of ivory knitting needles have been stolen right before my very sister's very wedding. It's just so upsetting. Oh, and also, my husband's been murdered.
I was on the case. I met with Georgia's sisters, Magnolia and Sweet Pea Peach, and detectivated all around the plantation. I found fibers that were made of acrylic and traced those to a knitting store, P. Yarns, which, as it turns out, is owned by the lovely Miss Georgia Peach. Then, moments after this shocking discovery, the phone rang. On the other end was a mysterious and rather scratchy voice. The voice claimed it had information about the missing needles, and whoever was on the other end arranged a meeting.
Midnight meeting. Under Dead Man's Pier, in Robber's Alley.
My upstanding sainted mother always told me never to meet with strangers, and never to venture out to potentially unscrupulous places after dark. But in my line of work I had no choice. If I wanted to solve these mysteries, I would have to be brave, bold, and I'd have to manage to stay awake until at least after Jeopardy. Stay tuned for part 3 of The Case of the Missing Ivory Knitting Needle. It was a dark and stormy night. Well, dark anyways. And not the ideal time for a jaunt to Dead Man's Pier in Robber's Alley, a place where murder is as common as a tear in an onion factory, a place where exotic beauties are for sale to the highest bidder. Even at the best of times, this is never the place for an upstanding citizen to be seen. Luckily, I had been there several times before and knew the place well.
Hey, Detective Man, the last time you come here, your credit card bounced. You still owe me for that 10 minutes of love I gave you last...
Sorry, Jamaican stranger. I can't stay to talk now. I'm on a case.
You're a cheap bastard, and I'm not from Jamaica. I'm from Trinidad.
Sure, whatever. I can't talk to you now, Miss Purity. I'm heading this minute to a top-secret meeting.
I know the one about the ivory knitting needles that are missing.
How did you know about that?
I know all sorts of things, man. I know how you think Miss Georgia Peach is the victim of this crime, when really she is the...
I'm sorry, Purity. It's been lovely chatting with you, but I have to run. You know, top secret meeting and all that.
But don't you want to hear?
I know. Once you go, detective, you can't go back.
Don't you want to know the true identity of the...
I must be bidding you good evening.
Whatever, man. Good luck. Remember, it's a right turn to Dead Man's Pier once you get to Robber's Alley.
How did you know where the meeting was? Never mind. I can hear the clock striking midnight in the distance, so I hurry to the meeting place As I slip into the shadows under Dead Man's Pier, I can hear the heavy tread of a footfall just a few feet from Chestnut's tail.
Right on time, Detective Lemieux.
Who are you? Why did you call me here? What?
There is much you need to know, and not much time. Listen to me, Detective Lemieux. Things are not what they seem. You are in grave danger. Grave danger.
Grave danger? From who?
It's from whom? Murder and mayhem is no excuse for bad grammar. And as to whom it may be that lusts after your blood, I cannot say. But beware the Widow Peach. Beware.
Oh, Georgia Peach, the ripe bursting citrus of a girl. So plump, so sweet, so...
And that is why it is doubtful you will live out the week.
Did I miss something? Could you maybe say the thing one more time that you said about the grave danger that I'm in?
One should never end a sentence with a preposition. And it's about whom. But lo, there's no time. I must flee. And so should you, if you know what's good for you.
But I didn't even learn anything. And the parking down here is really expensive. I can't afford another secret meeting.
All right, fine. I'll at least leave you with a warning. It's the ripest fruit that poisons the vine. And there are worse things than acrylic.
Well, he left me something to think about, at least. And with that, the mysterious man melted into the shadows. I quickly sprinted to my car and drove back to the safety of my halfway house, a taped episode of Hell's Kitchen, and a microwave dinner for one. My island of calm in this uncertain world. But when I reached my doorstep, there was a figure there, hunched over. Her shoulders were shaking. It's Georgia. Miss Georgia Peach. Oh,
Detective Lemieux, you've finally come. I must talk to you. I must tell you.
I've always prided myself on being an excellent listener.
But...
And this time was no exception.
But...
When people confide in me, particularly those members of the weaker sex...
But...
I tilt my head just so, raise my eyebrows slightly. My tried and true listening look.
Detective, pay attention and get that gosh awful look off your face. You look to be a few mints short of a julep. I think I might know something about the knitting needle. About who took it, I mean.
I didn't know what to make of Miss Georgia appearing at my door. Last evening, I had dreamed of that very thing happening, but I had been a little... No.
In the dream.
Last evening, I had dreamed of that very thing happening, but I had been a little taller, and Miss Georgia had been wearing a little less, and there had been whipped cream. But never mind. I was, of course, pleased that Georgia had come, but after the mysterious fibers and the tip-off I had received about the wool store, I didn't know if I should even be speaking with Georgia right now.
It's about Magnolia's fiancé.
I suddenly realized that although I had met and questioned several people. I had not yet made the acquaintance of Magnolia's husband-to-be. What is it about the fiancé?
I'm afraid he's vanished, slipped into the night. We haven't seen hide nor hair of him since the day of the murder. Oh, detective, what are we to do? Poor Magnolia's even more beside herself than ever.
Oh, my head started to pound. What? Another crime? I had barely begun to investigate this one. Needles missing, dead husband, a missing fiancé. At this rate, my TV dinner will never be eaten. And then, cupping my left ear in her plump white hands, Georgia whispers the very words I had heard in my dream last night.
Mind if I come in?
Roar?
3 minutes and 5 seconds later, Georgia and I lay panting on my unmed... 3 minutes and 5 seconds later, Georgia and I lay panting on my unmade Pullman bed, panting with pleasure. I want to let it go. I want to enjoy this rarest of moments. But even more than a man, I am a detective. I lean into Georgia and say, I know about the yarn store, and I know about the acrylic.
Next time on the case of the missing ivory knitting needles. What happens next? Okay, we'll just let it go.